Well, as always, I'm thankful to be able to stand up here before you once again. As Cody mentioned in his prayer, to open up God's Word to you. And that is our purpose every time we meet, that we should present God's Word as it was intended to be presented, that we should present all of it, that we should present it boldly, and that we should let the power of God's Word convict us. And that is what we hope to do tonight. That's what we hope to do every time that someone comes up here and presents God's Word. But again, I want to express my gratitude again for being able to do this. And the growth that I'm able to achieve by doing it, by looking things up, by perhaps making connections that I hadn't seen before. And I hope to be able to relay that to you as well. The outline that I use was adapted from one that I found by a man named Harold Carswell Jr. Just wanted to make sure and give him credit. The structure of the outline I used, a lot of the verses I ended up changing just because I was going to go a slightly different path. Just want to make sure I'm not lying to anyone that I came up with it from scratch. But I always try to put in the study so that it's not just me coming up here and presenting somebody else's lesson, but the structure was someone else's. So, now that we have that out of the way, if you would please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, beginning in verse 35. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 35. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Now, the context of these verses, you can read forwards and backwards and see that the context of it was speaking of whether to marry or not to marry. And there the warning is, or the concern there is, if you get married, perhaps you'll be more focused on your spouse and less on God. So at the end of this verse, he says, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. So the topic of our lesson tonight is that of distraction. Distraction is all around us. I don't think there's any one of us who aren't plagued, if you will, by distraction on a day-to-day basis. While I was presenting this lesson on distraction, I kind of chuckled to myself at how many times I got distracted. Whether I was distracting myself, or whether the kids ran in, or something like that. And we're going to talk about all those things in the next few minutes. So first of all, I want us to think about how well do we deal with distraction. Some people may say, I have a lot of willpower, I'm a really focused person, I get it in my mind to do it, and I do it. A lot of us, I think myself included, would fall in the second category of maybe a procrastinator, someone who puts things off, someone who is easily distracted. We call it shiny object syndrome. You see something over here and you look and you get distracted. We notice it a lot in children, especially, well, I shouldn't say especially, in my own personal bubble, especially I think of my children. You may tell them to do something and 2 seconds later they're, kicking some mud outside in the yard and completely forgot where you were. But a distraction is anything that takes our focus away from whatever it is we're wanting or desiring to do. So, first of all, in order to find out what a distraction is, we need to know what we should be focused on. So, first of all, we're going to talk about what is our purpose. What is it that we need to make sure we're not getting distracted from? So, first, let's look at Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. I'm sure most of you know this verse. Jesse actually used it this morning. But Ecclesiastes 12, beginning in verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So you want to talk about distraction. We think about Solomon. And the distractions that he went through in his life, and in this book especially, it's all about distraction. It's all about seeking pleasure in various ways in life. For him, you know, he had all the money and power that we could only dream of. And so he set out on a quest to find out, what is it that's truly going to make me happy? What is it that I can focus in on and have fulfillment in my life? And distraction after distraction, whether it was food, whether it was drink, whether it was women, you know, you name it, he could have it all at his command. But towards the end of the book, what does he come to realize? He comes to realize that what I really need to focus on is that which I've been distracted from all this time. And that is to fear God and to keep His commandments. And in verse 14 he says, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." And I'd like to latch on to secret thing because it's easy for us to be focused, be on target, perhaps when the boss is looking. Perhaps when you're at the house and it's maybe a cleanup day and everyone else is working, you know, you feel that pressure. But we want to make sure that we're focused and that we're not distracted, not only when there's others around washing, but when we're completely alone. So let's look also at Philippians 3 and verse 13. I'm sorry, Philippians 3. Yes, let's start in verse 13. I'm going to go forward a little bit. Philippians 3 and 13 here, Paul is writing. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So let's stop here again. We see the imagery there of, I am reaching towards this. I'm pressing on. I have a goal. What does that, mean? That means I have focus, I have a desire. So I want to stop and ask myself and ask each one of you, what is it that we are reaching forward to? What is our end goal? Is our end goal the long term? Is it the focus that we ought to have, like Paul says here, and that is his salvation, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? Do we have a shorter term goal? Is it maybe dinner if we haven't eaten yet? Is it some other venture that we have closer in mind? So just keep that in your mind and think about it. And once again, throughout this whole lesson, we want to think about what is it that we're really focusing on, and is it in line with what we ought to be focusing on? Because everything can be and will be a distraction if we do not maintain that focus. So we need to know what's important. It's very closely associated with what we're talking about. Everything, we need to know what is important. Let's go to Luke 10. Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. Now we've read this verse quite a few times in Jesse's class, speaking about worry. Luke 10 and verse 38. "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" So some things we can pull out of here. Again, Martha was distracted with serving. It's not something that she just willfully got herself distracted. It's legitimate needs that she had and that she saw. But what did Jesus tell her? Jesus said there was something more important. There was only one thing, was his words. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that one thing, which he says is that good part. And then he says, this one thing that was needed, this good part, is that which will not be taken away from her. Martha, as troubled and worried as she was, and however important things seem that she was working on right now, Jesus told her in a roundabout way that him and his words were more important, but also that the things that she was focusing on are not those things that will not be taken away. These are things that are temporal. These are things that, you know, a day, a week, a month from now are not going to matter. And more importantly, in the scheme of things, in eternity, aren't going to matter at all. And of course, we're going to see that theme throughout because it is a theme that is found throughout the Bible. So we need to realize that this world, this life that we live, everything in it is a distraction. I'm sure you've probably done this from time to time. Maybe you wake up on a Saturday with good intentions, and you sit down to watch the news real quick, or you sit down at the computer to do something real quick, and the hours roll by, and you sit up, you come to yourself, and you realize, wow, I've really wasted my day. I've been distracted with these silly, silly things. And you kind of feel guilty about it. And as well we should at times. But we need to realize, and we need to also understand, maybe you've even done this. I've done this at times. I've sat up and I said, wow, you know, maybe not necessarily silly things that I did on a Saturday, but sometimes I've sat up and said, wow, you know, everything in life is a distraction. And that's kind of what made me start to think about writing this lesson. You know, there are so many things in this life that distract us from our true purpose, from what we should really be doing. And it's so pervasive, and it's such a real threat to all of us. Earlier today, I was in a checkout line at a grocery store, and you see all the magazines on the rack, and it's just, you know, distraction after distraction. The things that people are picking up and reading, it's pointless. I mean, even by the world standards, a vast majority of people would say, who cares what this person did? You know, who cares who they married or what house they're living in? You know, every facet of our life, and maybe it's more so in our culture with the way we worship celebrities and things such as that, but everything is a distraction. And we need to really tune our minds and be wary of that, that we're many times looking over the things that are really important, whether it's things of this life, but most importantly, the things to do with the next life. So everything is a distraction. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Let's read that. Matthew 6 and verse 19. We read Jesus. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Once again, there's another verse with that common theme of the things that we focus in on this earth are going to rot, they're going to decay, they're going to come to nothing. So next let's look at how is it that we are distracted. There's several different ways we are distracted, but the first way I'd like to talk about is the one that we need to take some personal accountability for, more so than the others. And that is, we make opportunities for distraction. We make those opportunities. Let's go to Mark 4 and verse 19. Mark 4 and verse 19. Here is part of the parable of the sower. We read about the seed that was thrown among the weeds and the other plants that were growing. And we read, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world, the desires that we're constantly being distracted with, the deceitfulness of riches, I guess that's back to the shiny object syndrome, once again a distraction, and the desires, those things that we're reaching for on a day-to-day basis, for other things, they choke the word. We all know, we all say this, there's not enough hours in the day. Every one of us realizes there's a finite amount of time that we have each day. And then on a broader scale, we have a finite amount of time on this earth. We don't really know what it is. And as much as we might like it, as much as we may hope for it, we're never going to get a 36-hour day. So we've got 24 hours. We got to sleep sometime. So what's we do with the rest of that time is prioritize. You have to. Many of us lead busy lives. You may have school, you may have work, you may have both. You may have to go home to children that you have to tend to. You may have things around the house that you need to work on. Those things aren't going to go away. But what you need to do is prioritize, because if you let all those little things constantly keep you distracted, then you're going to do exactly what Jesus says here. You're going to choke out the word. Another example I thought of here, I went to a class several years ago at work, and I probably mentioned it before, But it's a sort of a self-help program called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And there was an exercise that they showed on a video where the man giving the talk, he had a volunteer come up and he had 2 buckets. And one bucket had really large rocks in it. And the other bucket had a bunch of gravel in it, real small rocks. And he told the person to fill this third bucket up. I want you to fill them with both the large and the small rocks. You can't have anything running over. And so she pours the little rocks in, and then she starts putting the big rocks in, and pretty soon they realize it's not going to fit. So he goes back, and he pours out the little rocks, and he takes the big ones, and he fills them up in the jar, and then he takes the little ones after he's filled the jar with the big ones, and he pours them in, and they go in, and they fill in all the cracks. And that's a cute little example. I'm not here to teach you 7 habits, but the underlying message is the same. The big rocks, the things that are important to us, the things that really matter, are the things we need to focus on. Those are the things we need to put in our bucket first every day. And the little things, they may fill in, they may run over, but guess what? Those things aren't going to matter. Just like Martha was worried about her serving, in the long run, those things are going to take care of themselves. Next, let's read James 1. James 1 and verse 14. Once again, we're still on making opportunities for distraction. James 1 and 1, we read, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." Once again, how are we drawn away from our focus to God? How are we drawn away from His Word and from living the life we ought to? Just like the previous verse, it's because of our own desires. Because we want it. If we want to do it, we're going to do it. So next, let's look at personal issues. These are things that, you know, we haven't decided we're going to be distracted just because we want to be distracted. These are things that pop up in our life. And there's as many personal issues as, you know, stars in the sky. But let's look at some examples of personal issues in the Bible. Who do you think of when you think of someone who had a lot of personal issues in the Old Testament? Job may come to mind. I can't read the entire book of Job, so I'm going to have to paraphrase. But most all of you know at least the story of Job. Job had every kind of personal issue that you could possibly think about. He had a death in the family, not just one of his children, but all of them. He had financial ruin. His livelihood was ruined, and either one of those things would bring just about any of us to our knees, to distract us from what we ought to be focusing on. He had disease. He had terrible disease. He had boils all over his body. He had many negative influences. His friends who came and told him that the reason he was suffering so much is because clearly he did something wrong. But what did Job do? Did he get distracted? Did he do as his wife told him to do and curse God and die? No. He kept his focus. And this is the most extreme of circumstances. But he kept his focus because he realized that God was the one who gave him all those things. And God was the one who could take it away. And when things got better, he had an abundance more so than he had before. And he was thankful to God for it. But what do we want to take away from that? He kept his focus. Let's go over to the New Testament and think about someone who had it bad, but kept their focus. We think of Paul. Paul had many personal issues. He was hated by his own, those that he grew up with, because of the cause of Christ. He was treated terribly by them. They plotted to kill him. They lied about him. They put him in prison. But what did he do? He kept his focus. And in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, he sums it up. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness and toil, and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Besides these other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." You see here that Paul, there wasn't much peril that he hadn't been in. I don't know if any of us can say we've had a life as hard as he had. But look at what he says in the last verse. He says, "Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." So once again, it's time to look at ourselves. It's time to ask the question, do we have a deep concern for our church, for the church? Do we have a deep concern for this church? Is it something that we think about when we're away from here, when we're in our houses, when we're going about our daily business? Or are we distracted? Next is personal endeavors, very close to the first and second point. These are things that we're not necessarily just willfully trying to become distracted. These aren't necessarily things, though, that pop up and that we have no control over. These are projects that we get ourselves into, whether it be at work, whether it be things around the house, you name it. These are certain endeavors, certain what we would call big items, big rocks, that we set goals ahead of ourselves. But do we let those things drift our focus away from God? So we are distracted by our houses, figuratively speaking, that bubble of influence around us. We're distracted by our houses instead of focus on the Lord's house. So let's go to Haggai 1, beginning in verse 1. We have a rather lengthy reading here, 1 through 11. "In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, 'Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands.'" These people were distracted by their own lives. Much as we said earlier, our entire lives can become a distraction. They were focused. They had endeavors. They had nice paneled houses to live in. They were working, but they were working completely for themselves. And God brings out the fact, as we have mentioned in verse after verse, that the things that you're focused on right now, I'm going to bring them to nothing. They're going to come to nothing. You work and you do all of these things to serve this temporal existence that you have. And even what you have now is not going to be satisfying to you, because you have not put first things first. You have not dealt with the Lord's house. And of course, today we can do that. Not a physical house, although we do have times when we need to take care of the physical things of this building. But what is our concern? What is our focus? Is it towards this spiritual house, towards this church? Or is it completely wrapped up in ourselves? God tells us those things do not matter. Those things are going to come to nothing. So we see here that we're distracted by our pursuits instead of being focused on the Lord's will. This can be evident in many ways in our life. It can be evident in our stewardship of what God gives us. God gives us time. God gives us abilities. God gives us talent so that we may go and work. And we need to look and ask ourselves, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with the time that we have given to us? Do we spend an incredible amount of time doing worthless tasks, things that don't really mean anything in this life, or especially the next? Things like watching lots of TV, perhaps playing little games, perhaps you fill in the blank there. What do? Sometimes we say, I'm going to unplug. I've had a bad day. I'm going to just sit and unplug for a while. And of course, there's times when we need to rest and times that we need to do those things. And those things are right and good. But are we focused on the television? Are we focused on a hobby? Or are we focused on God and His Word? Because God gives us comfort. God gives us rest if we'll come to Him. God says in 1 Peter 5:7 that we should cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. I thought of unplugging, people unplugging. I thought of people who drink alcohol. It's rampant in our society. Well, why do people do that? They want to disconnect. They want to unplug for a while. They want to be distracted from those things that are staring them in the face. This can be evident, as we've shown, in our stewardship. This can be evident in our hopes and priorities regarding ourselves or regarding our children. Do we put our focus on our children's schoolwork instead of their Bible class work? Do we put our focus on our schoolwork or our work instead of Bible class work? You know, many times our children come to class and, you may think that no one's going to know that they're not being taught at home, but your Bible class teacher knows. Your Bible class teacher knows those who have been going over the material and those who are giving blank stares. What about our pursuit of college degrees for ourselves or for our children? Perhaps the pursuit of a career instead of the pursuit of heaven. Once again, these things are well and good for this life. But if they drown out, they choke out the Word, then we are distracted. What about our children's or our interaction or involvement in athletics or some other sort of social activities instead of their involvement in spiritual activities or congregating or being with those of like faith? What about at work? What is our priority at work? Is it getting ahead? Is it looking good in front of the boss? Those are good things. But are we also focused on being an example to those around us in the workplace? Are we focused on talking to others who have an interest about God and His Word? So as we see already, our everyday life can be a distraction. And it will be a distraction if we do not maintain focus. I've seen a quote. I don't remember the exact wording of it, but it basically says something to the effect of, if you really want or desire something, you're going to find a way. If you do not want it, then you're going to find an excuse. And we see that time and time again. We do it. We hear it from others. And sometimes we realize after excuse that the reason this isn't getting done or the reason this person isn't doing this, that, or the other thing is because they simply do not want to. There's only so many excuses that can be given. Once again, we need to look at ourselves and think, are we giving excuses? Are we being distracted from those things that really matter? So we've talked about what our purpose is. Fear God, keep His commandments. We talked about how we're distracted, the different ways that we can become distracted. And this list could be infinite. I'm sure you're probably thinking of different ones right now. But next we need to talk about how is it that we're going to prevent ourselves from becoming distracted. And first we need to, and most importantly, I've used this word probably 100 times so far in this lesson. The only way we're going to prevent ourselves from being distracted is to focus. I really like this image because this pretty much represents your life most of the time. You've got this thing that you need to be focusing on, and you've got crammed around you. As far as the eye can see, this blurry noise, these little small pebbles like we talked about earlier. And guess what? They're not going to go away. They're always going to be there. You got to filter out the noise, and we have to focus. So first we need to focus on God's kingdom all the time. Let's go to Philippians 4 and verse 8. Oh, sorry, Matthew 6 and verse 33. I got ahead of myself there. Matthew 6 and 33, another common verse that we read, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So first thing in the morning when you wake up, put that biggest rock in that jar. Focus on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And listen to this, all these things shall be added to you. We saw this example time and time again. God was talking to His people who were in their panel houses and not taking care of the Lord's house. And God tells them, every venture you pursue is going to come to nothing because you did not seek Me first. Had they sought God first, He would bless them. They would have the rains. They would have the crops. They would have the things that would make their life on this earth more enjoyable. And this also, the example of Martha. God said that she was distracted by many things, but this one good thing that she should have focused on that would have truly helped her, that would have not been taken away from her. And then also this verse, we see all these things shall be added unto you if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You cast your cares upon God. He will see you through. He will help you out in these times. So focus on God's kingdom, not just some of the time, all the time. Once we lose focus, that's when we become distracted. And that's when we get into this mess right here. And we have to try and find our way back. So we need to focus also on God's will all the time. Now let's look at Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. We read there, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is an excellent checklist that we should be able to look at and say, what am I doing right now? Does it meet any of these criteria? If not, it's probably a distraction. Next, let's look at Matthew 5 and verse 6. This was another verse that was used this morning. Matthew 5 and verse 6. We read there, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. When you're really hungry or you're really thirsty, you understand the focus that is required. You can't think about anything else but where you're going to get that next meal or where you're going to find something to drink. And that's the exact type of attitude or focus that we should have when it comes to the righteousness of God. Next, let's look at Colossians 3 and verse 2. Colossians 3 and verse 2. There we read, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Why? Because as we've read time and time again, those things above are those things that will not be taken away. Those things on the earth are those that will come to nothing. And then finally, we must focus on ourselves. Starting in James 1, beginning in verse 23. James 1 and verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. So here we have the image of a man who's looking into the mirror. A parallel is made in the 25th verse. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, not someone who's allows himself to get distracted by the things of the world, this one will be blessed in what he does. But the first man who looks at himself in the mirror, he knows what he looks like. But what does he do? He willfully forgets. He is willfully distracted so that he walks away and seeks out something to take his mind off of what he truly is. So that's something that we do. All that unplugging we talked about earlier. Why do we do that? Because sometimes we don't like to think about who we are or where we are in light of the perfect law of liberty, that mirror that we ought to be looking at. It's hard for us to see ourselves as God sees us. It's hard for us to not sugarcoat our lives, to not have a slant on ourselves. We usually think we're a good person. We usually justify the things that we do. But there is a perfect law, there is a perfect mirror that we need to be looking into, that we need to be focused upon at all times. And only when we see ourselves as we truly are we going to be able to make the changes in our life. And then finally, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We read, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So there will be a time for distractions in this life. But there will be a time when we can no longer turn aside, not look into that mirror anymore. There will be a time when we're forced to look face to face in the mirror. And we're either going to like what we see or we're not. And there's going to be no opportunity for us to make a change. And it's going to be according to what we have done individually, whether or not we've been distracted or whether we've been focused, whether or not we've done those things that are good or those things that are bad, whether we've set our mind on the things of this earth, which will and will have at that point come to nothing, or whether or not we've set our mind on things above. And that is my lesson tonight. I thank you so much for your time. And I'd like to once again pose the question to you. Are you distracted? Are you distracted from those things that really matter? From those things that turn your gaze away from God, away from His righteousness, away from His kingdom, and turn to those small things in life, those things that are not enduring, those things that will come to nothing. If you are not a Christian, you have not begun to take on the most important thing that you can take on in your life, and that is to live the life of a Christian. Because in order to become a Christian, you must hear God's Word, you must believe it, you must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You must repent of your sins. That means to really turn away, fix your gaze away from those distractions in life and fix them on your ultimate goal of heaven. And make sure that you no longer walk in the ways that you did before, in the distraction and the fuzz and the mess all around us. You also need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. This is an act that God has commanded. Not that the water is that which saved us, but it is the power of God. It is a power that God grants those, the power of forgiveness that God grants when we obey Him, when we show that we have fixed our gaze upon Him. Perhaps you are someone who has already gone through those steps. Perhaps you've become a child of God. But you have been wrapped up in your own bubble. You've been in your paneled house, so to speak. You've not really concerned yourself with the affairs of those around you, or most importantly, with the affairs of God's house. Well, it's not too late for you. It's not too late to come back and stare into that mirror and fix your gaze again. If you have a need and you need to have a sin that is of a public nature, we ask that you come forward, shine the light on it, so that we may pray for you, that we may help you to focus again. Whatever your need may be, we ask that you please come as we stand and sing.